Red Line.
Russia's deteriorating relations with the West was one of the distinct and very unfortunate developments of the year. Describing Russia's relations with the West at his annual press conference, President Putin compared Russia to a bear who has to live and survive in his taiga, with standing outside pressure under numerous attempts to be chained or stuffed. And that's what we're going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines. Russia's relations with the West and President Putin's latest reactions are analysed in a story. A Putin speech, President claims the West wants to chain the bear as he warns economic recovery could take 2 years, written by Heather Saul and carried by The Independent. And here's a quote for you. When a journalist asked whether the current situation is a result of what is happening in the annexed Crimea, the president responded with metaphors about a bear and a forest. Sometimes I think maybe they'll let the bear eat berries and honey in the forest. Maybe they will leave it in peace, said Mr. Putin, referring to Russia's famed symbol. Referring to tensions between Russia and the Western world, Putin added, they will not, because they will always try to put him on a chain, and as soon as they succeed in doing so, they will tear out his fangs and his claws. And once they've taken out his claws and his fangs, then the bear is no longer necessary. He'll become a stuffed animal, he said. But the issue is not Crimea. The issue is that we are protecting our sovereignty and our right to exist, according to Vladimir Putin.
Well, Vladimir Putin once again used that metaphor, which he liked very much in his talk to journalists. And I think probably that was folklore image, which at least just showed to the world, you see, how Russia is describing this situation which we found ourselves in the relations with the West. Let me say that I personally think that the result of the year, and a very disappointing result, where we've seen that Russia's relations with the West hit historic low this year, is really a signal that there's a lot of homework to do both for Russia and the West in the upcoming year to change the situation, because we are living in the globally interdependent, interlinked world, and there's no way for new iron curtains. There's no new for any new Cold Wars, because they don't fit the reality and the agenda of the 21st century.
Well, let's put some questions to our first guest, Alexander Domrin, professor of High School of Economics. And how would you describe sort of the relations between Russia and the West now? I mean, are they as bad as there've been a lot of media sort of analysis into this, that they are as low as the Cold War? Is it quite as bad as that?
Thank you very much for this absolutely wonderful question. I'm 52. I was born in the year when the Cuban Missile Crisis happened. Of course, I don't remember that because, it was 52 years ago. But in my lifetime, I've never seen worse time than now in our relations with the West in general and with America, first of all. I absolutely agree with what Putin said, and I absolutely agree with his metaphor. And by the way, this is also, a very important thing that Putin again and again reminds us, and not only us, but he also reminds his Western counterparts of such a thing as sovereignty. On the other hand, I remember the previous ambassador of the United States to Russia, Mr. McFaul, who used to say that sovereignty is a concept of the 19th century. Give me a break, Mike. This is not a concept of the 19th century. This is one of the backbones of international law. Once you start undermining our sovereignty, we will defend our sovereignty. And that's exactly what Putin was talking about.
Red Line.
Okay, well, let's put some more questions to our next guest, Sergey Utkin, head of Department of Strategic Assessment at the Center for Situation Analysis at Russian Academy of Sciences. Mr. Utkin, thank you very much for joining us.
Hello.
During his annual press conference, Vladimir Putin sort of blamed the West a lot for what is happening in Russia and in the economy. And also, he didn't really give much indication that Moscow wants to improve these relations, apart from he said that we would maybe like to develop our relations in such spheres as anti-terrorism and security and so on. And where would you put Moscow's sort of stance or strategy with the West now, and how do you see them developing from now?
Well, I think he is definitely not ready to give up on all the theses that he was defending all the time during the Ukrainian crisis. On the other hand, if you follow the evolution of Russian approaches to relations to the West and to the situation in Ukraine, you see that in these recent days, or probably a week, there was some softening of the tone, and you could also hear it in the speech of the president. When he was talking to all those journalists, he still tried to avoid the most harsh formulations that were used previously. And even this window of opportunity that you mentioned on cooperation on anti-terrorism and the rest of security issues, which are important for both Russia and the West, this is not just a byproduct of what's happening. This is really important. And one of the issues which is important for both Russia and the West is the situation around Iran. I don't know if you noticed, but he had a tough question on Iran. The Iranians are not happy with the level of relationships with Russia. And he was very cautious, pointing at the fact that everybody, including Russia, is interested in progress in the talks on Iranian nuclear program.
Mr. Utkin, obviously this was the most troubled year in Russia's relations with the West after the collapse of the Soviet Union. So do you think that our relations has crossed the point of non-return, or still we can get back to, say, reset to?
I think we cannot get back. It's already too late to get to the status quo ante by now, but we can look for other opportunities to improve relations, to get out of the deep trouble where we are all in. And this is possible. It's possible to move ahead in negotiations on Ukraine, and Putin paid quite some attention to possible ways out. It's all about negotiating at the round table. It's about political solution instead of a military one. Military one is simply inexistent. There is no way that one of the sides of this conflict could win over the other militarily. So the urgent need is to involve both Russia, the West, and parties in Ukraine in a round of serious talks, because up to this moment, quite a lot of negotiations were used simply to spend the time to prolong the status quo as we have it today. And now we cannot tolerate this status quo anymore. Russia has economic troubles. Ukraine has economic troubles. We have to make the situation more stable. It's in everybody's interest. And this is already the prerequisite for better relations between Russia and the West, a prerequisite for, in the end of the day, finalizing this sanctions war, which is detrimental for both Russia and the European Union. Red
Line. All right, well, let's go to our next guest, Roslyn Fuller, Research Associate at the Insight Group in Dublin. Ms. Fuller, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
We've heard from our previous guest on the sort of Putin's and Moscow's position when it comes to its relations with the West. But what about the Western point of view? What is their strategy when it comes to viewing relations with Russia?
Well, as we know, the United States at the moment is working on passing a new sanctions bill that will actually increase the level of sanctions on Russia, particularly the gas industry, also perhaps the armaments industry, and that's also going to be providing about $350 million of military aid to the current Ukrainian government. So their position at the moment is, I think, going to push to see if they can't put more pressure on Russia, and also to try to basically win the Ukraine conflict for themselves, if you will. So I think they're going to try and keep pushing that way, because for Western interests, or for people running Western countries, this is a very important battle, if you want, in a way, because I think that if Russia were to hold through on its current policy, and Putin did say yesterday that that is their intention, of course, that we will probably look back at 2014 and say that this is the beginning of a shift away from a unipolar world in which Western powers have had the bulk of military and economic might in the world to themselves.
Rosalind, none of us want to live in the Cold War, so we are struggling in the studio to understand whether we have reached the point of non-return or we can still get back to normalcy in our relations with the West. What's your take on that?
You can always get back to normal, right? That, and indeed, that is really the point of international law, to try to get back to normal, to try and have stabilization, to try to work together globally in a way that's beneficial to most people, right? But we have seen, unfortunately, these tensions have been mounting for a really long time, and we've seen that a lot of our major institutions, like the World Trade Organization, like the International Monetary Fund, or like the United Nations, have really failed in completing their tasks, have failed to build consensus with countries around the world. And I think that's really what's coming home to roost here. So I think until those fundamental issues are resolved, I think until we have an institutional framework that allows for global cooperation and has mechanisms for deciding things on a basis of mutual respect, I don't see how that's possible. I think it is the point we should be working towards, but I don't know if it's possible, and I don't think it's something that one side themselves can make happen. Both sides have to be willing to engage in that dialogue.
Red Line.
Okay, well, let's now go to our next guest, Pekka Viljakainen, a world-known Finnish businessman and advisor to the president of Skolkova Foundation. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Please tell us, as a businessman, what effect will have the sanctions between Russia and the EU on each other? What sort of effect have they had on business, on your business in particular, and also with the latest situation with the Russian ruble as well, what effect has that had?
Well, first of all, I think that the answer is definitely two-folded. So, of course, I am coming from the, let's say, big business, big enterprise and investment world, and there the difference is big compared to the startups and entrepreneurship, what we are doing in Russia. So let's start from the positive side. I think that the direct impact for the startup community, for Skolkova project, for entrepreneurship in Russia is not so severe, because young entrepreneurs, they don't think so much about these kind of things, and they are not under the sanctions in any way. We can see it in a very concrete manner that, for example, Russians are very active in their startup events all over the world. Foreign investors and foreign communities are active in Russia, and there is no impact. However, of course, then when you talk about big businesses, premises, construction, any big business there, the cost of financing is the biggest problem. And especially now after the Russian ruble exchange rate issue, that of course is a severe problem for those who has income in rubles and then the, for example, debt in US dollars or euros. So definitely twofold. Still, I would say that for my personal life, the impact has been relatively small so far.
So if we look at the policy of isolating Russia, so what is the mood of business elite actually in Europe, in the West?
Well, first of all, to be very honest, this is my personal view, it's not my official view. This isolation or this kind of to be isolated, I haven't seen that so much. Of course, there is a lot of talks and so forth, and I know that in certain sectors there is a massive problems of having certain technical equipment and that kind of limitations. But like I said, in high tech, in software, in IT, where I'm extremely active, so far the impact has been quite small. I don't think that the isolation as such, it's mainly, at least today, it's mainly in the people's head more than in the legal issues. If I talk with the American software companies or high-tech companies, they operate in Russia like they have operated all the time. So that's why it's impacting negatively in the minds of the people, uncertainty, than in the real time.
Mr. Pekka, but I hope you will agree that sanctions are counterproductive for any business.
No. Yeah, even I'm a Finn, I'm not so naive. So absolutely. The life would be much, much easier without sanctions, that's for sure. And I think that every businessman, both Russian or European, Finn or American, everybody hopes that the sanctions would, there would be a resolution to get out of the sanctions as quickly as possible so that the situation would normalize. My point was more like to say that the impact in a way in the businesses where I am involved has so far been relatively limited, and mainly due to the fact that I am not in a capital intensive businesses so much. And we are more, the capital is in the heads of the people, so to say. And for example, Russian startups, what we have, they are operating in Russia. They are Russians, but their main market is going to be outside of Russia. So they sell in Apple iStore, in Apple Store, or they sell in international markets. In that sense, for some of them, it's good because their costs are in rubles and the income is in dollars.
All right. Well, thank you very much to all of our guests. That's all we have time for. Rosalind Fuller, Research Associate at the Insight Group in Dublin. And thank you to Sergey Utkin, Head of the Department of Strategic Assessment at the Russian Academy of Sciences. And thank you to Pekka Viljakainen, a world-known Finnish businessman advisor to the president of Skolkovo Foundation. And thank you, of course, to our guest in our studio, Alexander Domrin, Professor of High School of Economics. And still to come on a program, 2014 for Obama, high flyer turned lame duck. President Obama has passed through the most difficult year in office, suffering one humiliating blow after another. Mounting domestic problems from racial tensions to torture scandal, loss of control of the Congress, followed by America's diminishing global role and failure of reset policy with Russia, send Obama's ratings to a historic low. Stay with us.